But the public, but we were very careful in the way that we wrote that public involvement plan to say that the first issue is exactly as Commissioner Saltzman outlined in his opening remarks. The first issue is, with the presumption that the maintenance yard stays, we will look at the maintenance yard and how it works and what its best function is there and how it can be best made to work. We want the workers there to tell us, not us to tell them, how it's going to work best for them. That is the presumption. We do that first, and then and only then do we look at what kind of corollary uses might be had. So I think that's the way the public involvement plan is written, that the maintenance yard is presumed to stay, and I think there's no will within the community. I've sat through a lot of hours of discussion about this thing, and I'm known in the neighborhood as an advocate for every voice being heard. That's the same reason I'm saying if someone has this idea, they need to be able to bring it up in, you know, notwithstanding that I'm going to oppose it, they have the right to bring it up. So in our neighborhood association, in all of our community meetings, in every conversation that I've had with anybody in the city about this issue, nobody says to me, well, why not a lease? So I know you could say, well, if it's not an issue, then why not just dispose of it?
Well, but John, you're not the one I need to hear from. Okay. I get that you're at that size. I need to hear the director of the parks and the commissioner of parks say here that there is no current discussions, there is no plan, there's no contemplation, there's no informal discussions to lease the property. I need to hear that. And I'm hearing John's doing a lot of talking, and I'm noticing I'm not hearing a lot from the
I'll
commissioner.
I'll say that. There are no current plans discussing leasing of this property.
There are no discussions. There's no emails. There's no, well, maybe in this process you can bring it up.
Well, I think in this process, this process is designed, as John just said, to allow people to bring all options to the table. So that doesn't preclude somebody bringing an option up.
I'm just asking if there's a discussion about that as a strategy.
There is no discussion about that as a strategy.
Then I will take that on its face.
And you agree, Zary?
Absolutely.
I'm really giving a lot of benefit to what you're saying, John, in trying to get myself to a place where I can support this, because I hear what you're saying, but I hope you also are hearing my concerns and experience, and I do not want at the end of this process for there to be a meltdown, and I've seen it happen in this neighborhood a number of times, and I'm just not going to do anything that plays into that if I have some reason to think that that's possible, and that's the only reason I'm raising these concerns.
I want to try to get a little more clarity around the kind of work that would be completed with the master plan update vis-a-vis the yard, and whether or not at the end of that expenditure and process where that would be a facilities plan. So it's kind of a geeky question. Would we have something from there to go into preliminary engineering, or would that constitute preliminary engineering?
Very good question, Commissioner. This process, as John mentioned, will start with evaluating all of our needs, central maintenance facilities and horticultural needs at the site, what our current needs are, and as I have mentioned before this council, last time we worked on this facility was over 50 years ago. So we know if we do something, it's going to last for another 50 to 100 years. So we want to make sure that we plan for the future as well. So it will start with preliminary engineering, in architectural term, concept plan, schematic plan. So at the end of this process, we will have a blueprint that tells us where these facilities fit, how, are they one stories, two stories, and are there ways that we could improve efficiencies or considering the historic preservation of some of the buildings that are on the site, are there opportunities to configure this in a way that would give us more space? Safety is a huge concern in terms of movement in the yard. So these are the things that the process will include. So at the end of it, we have a blueprint that could tell us how much it would cost to improve or, as Commissioner Leonard mentioned, rebuild this facility, and how can we phase it? If it's a substantial price tag, are we going to do it all lump sum, or can we phase it? So that's what our intent is. And as John mentioned, if through this process we are able to economize in space and there are space leftovers, what are the things that we could do with that?
And then how, again, it might be here and I missed it. How big is the committee?
We haven't formed the committee yet, but definitely we'll include people or those people who were willing, the 16 people who were involved in this process.
And does that...
The mediation committee was about 16 people, but the BIP-9 process would be a whole...
Bigger committee. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
How many folks have signed up to testify?
We have 15 people signed up.
Okay. I'm going to ask folks to keep their remarks to 2 minutes. We have a number of other things on the agenda. So please call the first three people.
That would be Alfred M. Staley, Catherine Knotson, and Karen Trappin. And they'll be followed by John Long, Richard Beadle, and Mike Murphy.
I want to thank you folks for being here. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes.
I am Alfred Staley. I'm a retired architect, a Mount Tabor resident, and member of the Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association. I support today's resolution on upgrading the Mount Tabor Park Master Plan. The following remarks address the significance and integrity of the Mount Tabor Park Central Maintenance Yard Nursery and the Long Block, and briefly referred to as Tabor Yard, and the present and historical importance of the yard's horticultural program and operations as has been conducted there for the past 100 years or more. The Tabor Yard and horticultural program was planned and developed by the Olmsted affiliate, the park's first park superintendent, E.T. Misch, and was continued by his successor, Superintendent Kaiser. The program's work propagated the trees, shrubs, and flowers for the finished landscaping and maintenance of all of the parks, and for displays for official ceremonies and observances by the city, Rose Festival, Fleet Week, holidays, memorials, City Hall and Council lobby and office displays, the Pittick Mansion, receptions for visiting dignitaries, transit mall planters, and for the appropriate plants for stormwater disposal, bioswales, and for the restoration of reclaimed wetlands along Johnson's Creek and other areas of Portland. Tabor Yard and the horticultural program has been inseparable from the maintenance and beautification of Portland's image. I just have a few more to finish here.
Yes.
It has been recognized nationally and internationally for its excellence. The yard's programs and operations have been valuable and internationally for its excellence. The yard's programs and operations have been a training ground for horticulturists, metal workers, carpenters, painters, and gardeners oriented toward historic landmarks and landscaping, and for the equipment maintenance and repair specialists. Is there a better way to find and employ specialists, maintainers, and restorers of Portland civic landmarks and to sensitively oversee the restoration and repair work of others when contracted out and by training them in-house and possibly in cooperative programs with PCC and Mount Hood Community College? How do you price these intangible qualities? Can you dismiss them for a sharper bottom line? Can you outsource these services and skills and realize the equal quality with less overhead? Addressing you as one of Portland's older architect preservationists for over 30 years, I am asking this council to support, plan for, and to fully fund the preservation of Tabor Yard operations and the full horticultural program. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Catherine Knotson. I'm a South Tabor resident and a former board member. I'm one of the 16 people who signed the resolution, and the other four of my neighborhood are here as well today. I support going forward with this resolution in order to deal with issues at the maintenance yard. I feel that this is an important aspect of the park, and I know there are other issues outside of the park usages that are concerns of my neighbors. I know that our neighborhood plan that we adopted back in March of 1996, there was discussion of public access to Mount Tabor Park from Division Street, and I've heard that even now from some residents as we've gone through this. I would like to go forward with this process, and I would also challenge the commissioners and the mayor to give us their written comments that we can address their questions during this process, as well as the rest of the citizenry, so that we may have those answers for you in a year from now. We should make that commitment to you in order for you to have your participation in this as well. Thank you.
My name is Karen Trappin, and I'm a carpenter with the Park Bureau. And I was part of the design of the public involvement plan. I think I came on board like June or July, and I fully support the resolution. I think this is a great, if this is what really is going to happen, which it sounds like these folks are very much, this is what they want. These neighbors, which I applaud all of them, for coming forward and fighting for us to have decent working conditions. I don't know of other workers that have been able to be a part of designing their work environment, and that would be a great thing to happen. I know that there are a lot of naysayers still in the Park Bureau that totally do not believe that this is going to happen. We've heard over and over different things. It's going to happen. We're going to move the yard. We're not going to move the yard. That's all I've heard since I started. And I'm really hoping that we can just make a decision and then start moving forward and do something. And I'm looking forward to help with the design process also. So thank you.
Before Karen leaves, I just wanted to let the council and the audience know that Karen recently won the Public Employee of the Year Award for the Northwest Region of Labor International Union of North America. She was nominated by Richard Beadle for her activism for the union, her co-workers, and Portland Parks and Recreation. She was nominated from over a pool of 5,000 public employees in the Northwest Region, and she is one of only five award winners and received her award in Chicago last Friday. So congratulations, Karen.
Thanks, folks.
Thank you.
Our next three are John Long, Richard Beadle, and Mike Murphy. They'll be followed by Gary DeVore, Don Jacobson, and Mark Bartlett.
Ready? Okay. My name is John Long. I'm happy to be here, Mayor and Commissioners. And basically, for brevity, I am a horticulturalist, and you saw all those wonderful pictures of the areas that I help manage. So a picture's worth a thousand words. You don't need me to continue on with that. I would like to also add that we are definitely working with partnerships with the Bureau of Environmental Services, growing plants, as well as the Water Bureau, especially with the hydro parks that are being developed these days. We definitely need improvements in the area that we're working in. And I would invite those that have not been to the yard to just come and see it. That might help sway you one way. So I'll end with that. Thank you.
Commissioners, Mayor, thanks for having us forward to talk about this issue. My name is Richard Beadle. I am the business manager of Laborers Local 483. And I would like to join with my members in favor of this resolution with the following caveat. I share Commissioner Leonard's concerns, and we would not support in any notion of a lease or loss of public control of this property. You will be listening. You have listened to testimony from a truly dedicated and professional workforce who's been struggling to provide a high level of service that the public expect and deserve, all the while working out of early 20th century facilities that have serious maintenance problems that is inadequately sized and designed for its mission. These buildings don't meet ADA requirements or OSHA or current building codes or basic fire and safety hazards. The yard does not offer adequate restrooms, showers, or lockers. Nowhere in the city do we ask public employees to work out of these kinds of inadequate and outdated facilities. We have been promised for years by numerous commissioners through several ballot measures that these inadequate facilities would be addressed, only to be disappointed. But this time, I truly think it's different. I believe this because of the strong commitment that Commissioner Salzman has made to this effort. I believe this because of the open and inclusive and transparent public process that Zeri has so carefully crafted. I believe this because of the dedicated group of citizens, park staff, and employees who have so tirelessly put together this resolution. Together, they have pioneered a new partnership that has ushered in a new era of collaboration and cooperation we have not seen before. Together, they have delivered on their promise to put together a public process that will assure the best use of this facility. What we're asking this council to do is to keep their promise by investing the money to keep this process going. Together, we can finally have that facility that will allow our members to provide the services to this community that they deserve. Thank you.
My name is Mike Murphy. I am the locksmith for the Parks Bureau. I just want to say I support this, keeping the yard at Mount Tabor. I think it's very important to have a centralized yard just because of the interaction that is done amongst the employees first thing in the morning. Example is somebody has a broken lock somewhere. They come to me. Tell me where it's at. I get all the information I need rather than get a work order than try to chase these people down and find out exactly where the lock is at or what is going on. So I think just the interaction of the employees of the yard in the morning is something to be said for as far as the getting the workload out. So.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Our next three are Gary DeVore, Don Jacobson, and Mark Bartlett. They'll be followed by Shannon Locke, Cascade Anderson Geller, and Nancy Norby.
Thanks for being here, folks. State your name when you speak, and you each have 2 minutes.
Hi, I'm Mark Bartlett. I'm a member of the Mount Tabor Neighborhood Association and part of the group doing the work to compose the resolution. For the past year, I've spent at least 1,000 hours wading through studies, financial documents, and strategy papers produced for and by Portland Parks and Recreation. I've found that the following conclusions pertaining to the central yard run through these documents: that the city of Portland could not find a better location for the central yard if they didn't already own it. These documents also clearly point out that the parks can and should continue to produce plants and horticultural activities at this site. It was chosen for a reason 100 years ago. Parks and Recreation can return this to a profitable endeavor if they are allowed to do so as it was in the past. All of the bureaus can be serviced in part or whole by the facilities there. If council will cooperate and utilize this asset, further, the co-location efficiencies with other bureaus could be realized, and that would benefit both the bureaus and the public. I would ask the council to consider this and act to initiate this aspect as a component of the outcome of this resolution. The public has repeatedly demonstrated their voice for maintaining capital assets, and these facilities do need your attention. The employees working there deserve something better. I want to ask the council to support our work and the relationship built with the Bureau. A group of dedicated public members are ready to take this forward with Portland Parks to its completion. Council no doubt understands the need to maintain capital assets, as two resolutions were recently passed stating just that. I would ask them to honor our work and pass this resolution to keep the momentum intact. Thank you.
Mayor Potter and commissioners, my name is Don Jacobson, and I am representing the Portland chapter of the Native Plant Society of Oregon. I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak to this resolution, and I urge you to pass it and allocate the necessary funds to implement it. I appeared before you in the spring of 2006 with issues regarding Mount Tabor and other Portland parks. One suggestion I made at that time was to codify and institutionalize a public process for Portland parks and recreation and other city boroughs. If that proposal had been pursued, perhaps this resolution might not be necessary and the important work that needs to be done could have already started. In the fall of 2006, the fate of the Mount Tabor park yard, nursery, and lawn blocks erupted in an atmosphere of crisis and mistrust. However, thanks to Commissioner Saltzman and the other commissioners' support of Zuri Santner's initiative, Hours of Community Involvement, a process began that engaged the community in which a dialogue resulted in an agreement in how to proceed. I hope that using this process as a template, early and open public involvement in Portland projects can circumvent antagonism, thereby benefiting both the community and city agencies. The omission of the Mount Tabor Park Maintenance Yard, Nursery, and Lawn Blocks from the Mount Tabor Master Plan needs to be remedied very soon. One definition of deferred maintenance could be more money later. With funding at a premium, it is cost efficient to spend money on maintenance now rather than to spend a lot of money later on. It's a tragic mistake to let our infrastructure continue to deteriorate. Our city workers need an adequate, safe, and efficient place to work. It's time to begin the process to fix these problems. Please support and fund this resolution. Thank you.
My name is Gary DeVore. I'm supervisor at Mount Tabor Yard. I worked for the city for 27 years. I would ask you gentlemen to think about coming to work every day and share the same office, share the same phones. You may or may not have heat that day. If it rains outside, you have water running through your office. And then go out and do your job with a smile on your face. That's what we ask our staff to do, day in and day out. The supervisors and the managers support this resolution, and we ask that you do the same. Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Next three are Shannon Locke, Cascade Anderson-Geller, and Nancy Norby. They'll be followed by Steve Nasser, Linda Robinson, and Don Smallman.
Thank you, commissioners, for the opportunity to talk today. My name is Shannon Locke, and I'm a Mount Tabor neighborhood resident, and I also sat on the 16-person mediation group. Over the last year, you've each been instrumental in helping us get to this point, and you've been supportive in our efforts to keep Mount Tabor Park whole. And in doing so, our community is more whole as well, which is to say that the Parks Bureau staff, the park employees, and the citizens have forged a new alliance that we can all be very proud of. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for giving Director Zuri Santner the latitude and the support to initiate the mediation process that's resulted in this resolution today. And Commissioner Leonard, thank you for dialing in and bringing to our attention how we could sharpen the focus on this process. I know it's something that's been a point of conversation within the mediation group, and I appreciate your comments. Thank you. It's going to be a number of years before this plan, whatever it may be, is carried out. And I would just like to say that as a community, we will remain vigilant. We recognize that with the comprehensive plan and other land use policies coming up in the future, they could impact our open spaces. And we'll be following not only the Mount Tabor Park issue closely, but all of our open spaces to keep them from being vulnerable and lost to the public domain. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Nancy Norby, and I live in the Mount Tabor neighborhood, and I was part of the mediation team. I'm the vice president of the neighborhood and a founding board member of the Friends of Mount Tabor, a group that came out of the original master planning process. In the public meetings, it was requested that there be a Friends group for the park. The success of that group demonstrates what a few citizens can do. We have around 200 dues-paying families and performed over 15,000 hours of service in the park. We have built trusting relationships with Portland Parks and Rec, Portland Police, Water Bureau, and ONI. We have also formed a foot patrol that has won awards and is said to be a model. There are at least 40 members of this patrol working at any one time. We're out almost every day. I was also a member of the original master planning committee for Mount Tabor, and I seem to be the only continuous one through. That group was put together, as you may recall, for the purpose of spending the money from the general obligation bond that was passed for the Parks Department. The committee was charged with analyzing the park and deciding on improvements that would help it. We had $1.2 million, and a lot of it went to updating parking and the amphitheater. We were told that the reservoirs and the maintenance yard and nursery were not part of the discussion because that would come later. With the limited amount of money, there probably wouldn't have been much impact made on the yard, so I suppose that made sense. I'm also interested in anything that goes on in Mount Tabor Park. I've given my volunteer hours to make sure the park stays a peaceful and tranquil place. I'm appreciative of all the efforts of the staff of the Parks Department to come to this agreement and look to the future with an open and transparent process to decide on the future of the yard and nursery with input from all concerned parties. I urge you to pass the resolution and fund it, as I would like to see the planning for Mount Tabor Park be completed. Also, the facilities and maintenance department need to be closely looked at and needs to figure out what is best for the future of the whole system, not just Mount Tabor, and what would be the best public good for the nursery and the long block. It will be a lengthy and detailed discussion, and hopefully we'll come out with a result that is close to best for all concerned. We have a committed group of people who are more than willing to give their time and opinion, and the momentum hopefully will not be halted, and we can keep moving forward in a timely manner, give some relief to the workers at the yard. I just want to thank Commissioner Saltzman for starting the funding and for letting the process go forward, and I'd like Zary for listening to the citizens and coming to the meetings, and thank you for letting us speak.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Cascade Anderson-Geller. I was really charged to talk about history, but Al Staley has done a good job of that. It's come up a lot. I wanted to just say how impressed I was with the Multnomah Youth presentation this morning. My daughter also served on that. She's at U of O now in the Honors School. I'm really proud of her, and that was a very good training group. And this is a great time to follow, a great resolution to follow the children, because the first children's initiative in Portland was really started by the park, by parks, not by the Park Bureau, but by the city fathers whose wives couldn't stand taking their little children by the hand, who were well-dressed and didn't want to step in the muddy streets, to walk down the streets with very poor children who had no place to play ball, no place to play at all, and whose parents were contributing to the prosperity of the city and the growth of the city, but they had no place to play. So these women, in reading the writings, the letters in our archives, in our wonderful archives that I think we're also funding, shows us the importance of parks. It's the foundation of conscience in all communities. And so Mount Tabor Park is our biggest park, was our biggest park until 1947. It's also one of our oldest parks. It's also exemplary in sustainability. And we have a team, you know, it has contemplative. It was designed to be contemplative. It was designed to be, is that my time?
Yeah, right there.
You have 30 seconds.
30 seconds, good. Anyway, it's just a wonderful place, and you've heard that a lot today. And it deserves our funding. You've gotten a lot of value out of it for a long time. We haven't put much of a dime over there for a long time. So $465,000 is a lot of money, and I've had my issues with it, you can believe. And the discussions this morning have really echoed what I've had in my mind and out in the public for quite some time. But that said, we have a good team. We're moving forward. It exemplifies the Vision PDX thing. I mean, it's in process in front of you right now today, and thanks a lot. And it's great to be here on a good note. So good day.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, especially.
Our last three are Steve Nasser, Linda Robinson, and Don Smallman.
Please speak when you, please state your name when you speak, and you each have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Steve Nassar. I'm a member of the South Tabor neighborhood,
and I was part of the process of one of the 16 people going forward. First, let me thank Zari Santner and Commissioner Saltzman for their support of the public process around the Mount Tabor Park Central Yard and Nursery. When I first became involved in the mediation team, I had a pretty low opinion of the Parks Bureau and Zari Santner in particular for signing the MOU with Warner Pacific to purchase yet another piece of our historic Mount Tabor Park. After working with Zari and her staff over the past year, I've come to see her as a staunch advocate for our park system, and I've learned to appreciate her contributions to this public process and her career-long dedication to Portland City Parks. The Mount Tabor Park Master Plan from 1999 and 2000 confused me when I first read it. An important, integral part of the park, even our entire Portland Park system, was left out of the plan. We do such a great job creating and maintaining one of the best city park systems in the nation, I just could not understand how or why the central maintenance facility for the park system fell off the plate. How can we maintain our parks without maintaining the very infrastructure that supports park maintenance? It just didn't make any sense to me at all. Our parks employees are working under some pretty grim constraints. The facilities at Mount Tabor Park Central Yard and Nursery are disintegrating, and with it, our ability to sustain the stellar park systems we've managed to build. The people that maintain our parks deserve a safe and functional infrastructure in which to perform their duties. Putting the historic Mount Tabor Park Central Yard and Nursery back into the Mount Tabor Park Master Plan will help give us much-needed visibility and support to our parks maintenance teams. Please do support the park system by adopting an open and transparent process for involving the citizens and neighbors in our city to update the Mount Tabor Park Master Plan to include this important integral piece of the puzzle, the Mount Tabor Central Yard Nursery and Lawn Block.
My name's Linda Robinson, and I was one of the few people involved in the mediation who didn't live in the Mount Tabor, one of the Mount Tabor neighborhoods. And I participated for a number of reasons. One is that I have a very strong feeling about involving the public early and in a meaningful way, and realizing also that this was a regional facility that needed, you know, additional perspective. And as a chair of the Citywide Parks Team, which is an ad hoc group of park advocates, I feel very strongly that we needed to rebuild the trust. We needed to improve in communication between park advocates and park employees, because the more we can share with each other, the earlier we can share information with each other, the better we as park advocates can help parks. And we do share a lot in common, and I wanted to be part of this process to see how it worked and to see how meaningful it could go forward. And it was very difficult. It was very frustrating at times and painful at times, but I think it was a very useful process. So I appreciate not only Zeri's participation, but Gay Gregor was an important part of that mediation as well, who's since retired. And I thank Commissioner Saltzman for giving them the leeway of doing that, because I think it was a very valuable process, came out with a good product.
Hi, my name is Dawn Smallman. I'm a homeowner in the Mount Tabor neighborhood. I recently joined the Mount Tabor mediation team, and I'm also a volunteer for the Neighborhood Tree Liaison Program, which helps to keep our urban tree canopy healthy and ever-increasing here in the city. I want to thank you for your consideration of the resolution today, and also thanks to Commissioner Leonard for his point about leasing yard, which is a concern personally of mine. I'd like to urge you to please fund improvements and upkeep for the Mount Tabor Central Maintenance Yard, Nursery, and Lawn Block. Keeping the production of plants and trees within our city's hands means we control the ability to keep our city green while our city's population expands. The yard is a historic part of one of our most beautiful parks. We hope that you will approve funding for the protection of it and ensure that all of Portland continues to reap its benefits. Thank you very much today.
Thank you, folks.
That's all who signed up.
Okay, please call the vote.
Adams?
Well, I want to explain my concern about leasing versus joint use. Under all things being equal, a lease actually transfers possession, whereas joint use does not. And similar to Commissioner Leonard's point of view, I'd be open to joint use agreements if that's what came out of this, but I would look very askance at any sort of lease, proposed lease. So I wanted to make that clear. I want to thank all the citizens who've been involved. Did I hear that the mediation committee was 60?
16.
Okay. I want to meet that mediator.
They're here.
So my thanks to the mediators, citizens and parks, and Commissioner Saltzman for starting this process. I look forward to considering the results. Aye.
Leonard?
My preference would be that today we're voting on $465,000 to have a community process to design the rebuilding of the maintenance yard. To be clear, what you've agreed to do is enter into a process and spend $465,000 to decide whether or not to rebuild the maintenance yard, which delays actually rebuilding the maintenance yard for a long time. But in the interest of collaboration, I will agree to spend this money, even though I don't think it's the highest and best use of each of those dollars. And we know we need to rebuild the yard. As a practical matter, we know it's probably going to be right where it's at right now, and that would be money well spent, in my view, in trying to figure out how it's configured, whether or not you could have, with the reconfiguration, access for the South Tabor residents and those kinds of points. So hearing those concerns and hopefully others, maybe sooner rather than later, you can start really focusing on that, because you have the political will here right now to get this done. And I think delaying it further by having a process that's overly inclusive of issues is not in the best interest of parks employees or the neighbors. So I hope that we can get this process expedited, and that we're not a year from now looking at a report that says we should rebuild the maintenance yard on Division. So I very much appreciate all the comments here today. They've actually helped me get to the place where I can support this. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank everybody who was involved in this process. I want to thank Scott Yeltsin and John Larson in particular, but all the 16 people who participated. And particularly, I want to acknowledge Zeri Santner for her leadership and really sort of rolling up her sleeves and spending lots of hours and with you all. And I know it was something she really wanted to do. I mean, she approached me about her desire to really sit down after the events of last year and really restore credibility in the Parks and Recreation Bureau and her as the leader of that bureau. So she egged me on to do this. I was oftentimes skeptical of the outcomes, but I nevertheless said, have at it and do good things. And that's exactly what is before us today. And so I want to thank Zeri for her great leadership. Also want to acknowledge Karen Loper and Gay Greger and Karen Trappin for their participation in this and all the citizens. So I think that, a year from now, I think we will have more than just sort of here's what we should do. I think we're going to have the game plan for doing it as well. Perhaps everything but, the funding piece to actually rebuild the yard nailed down. That's going to have to either come through this council or through a bond measure. But I think we'll have all the other ancillary questions and corollary questions answered and hopefully bought into and done under a model public involvement process that Mayor Potter developed under Bureau of Improvement Process number 9. So great work to all, and please to vote aye.
Potter.
I want to thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, Zeri, employees of the Parks Bureau, and citizens of South Tabor and Mount Tabor Neighborhood Associations. The one thing I know about you folks, and one of the concerns expressed by some of the employees, is if we're really going to do this, I can assure the employees that we will. But the reason I know is because we have these two particular neighborhood associations wanting it. And you folks are really good at what you do, and I appreciate it because you do exemplify civic engagement in our city. And I think Portland, though it's well known for it, is still learning some of the ropes. And I appreciate the citizens helping us and teaching us. But at the heart of good government, to me, is an active and engaged citizenry. And I think this exemplifies it. I really value this proposal that you folks have put out for a public process. When we developed BIP number 9, that's what we were thinking of. And you folks put writing to the concept and made it a reality. So I want to thank you for that. And I know that in the end, the entire city of Portland would be better served by what is produced, not only through that, but the actual implementation of the improvements to the maintenance facility. I've often thought how ironic it was that the building that is the worst maintained in the city of Portland is called a maintenance building. I'm sure that didn't escape some of you folks either. So, good job. I look forward, as one of the council members, to work with you in making sure it gets done. Vote aye. Thank you, folks. We're going to move through the emergency votes very quickly, hopefully, because at least one of the members needs to leave. So if you could please go outside and have your conversations, I'd appreciate that. Okay, so the first emergency is 1154. It's a five-year agreement with PCC for lease of space. I know that part of the problem with what they're trying to accomplish with this is that for public safety folks, there's a couple of dead spots out in that area of town, and this is going to help us solve that problem. That's a safety issue, I think, for fire and police, and I appreciate, Matt, you and your shop looking at this and coming up with something that can work. If you could very quickly go through this.
Yes. This is a lease agreement with Portland Community College at their Sylvania campus to allow us to site a monopole that will provide, essentially, as you said, fill-in coverage for the 800 megahertz public safety radio system into some areas in southwest Portland that we really can't reach now, and it will help do dead spots. We held a community meeting with the community council out there. It's one of the first times I've ever been in a meeting where we talked about a new tower that everybody was actually in favor of, because they're well aware of the problems that the police and fire people have there.
Questions? Thank you, Matt. Was anybody signed up to testify?
No one signed up.
Okay, it's an emergency. Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Do you have another one of these, Matt, emergencies for today? I just want to make sure we've got it covered.
The other one's not an emergency.
Okay, the next item, 1156, Commissioner Adams has requested that be deferred until next week. Because some of the folks, the young people who are going to testify, won't be able to be here. 1157, could you please read that?
I'm in intergovernmental agreement with Metro for the Lake Oswego to Portland Transit and Trail Alternatives Analysis Project to extend deadline and increase the budget.
Mr. Adams?
This is an item that originally was intended to be on the consent agenda, so it's we're required to have it on the agenda. The purpose of which is to study trail alternatives to Lake Oswego.
Any questions from the commissioners? Does anyone sign up to testify?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 1158.
Authorized contract with Axiom Decision Systems, Inc. to collect pavement distress data, develop quality control, quality assurance procedures, and train city staff on new data collection methods.
Mr. Adams?
This is another one that was supposed to be on the consent agenda. It is a follow-up, part of a series of actions to follow up to the audit report to improve our pavement management.
You had me at it. It should have been on a consent agenda.
Easy sell.
Any questions? Anybody sign up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Anybody here who wished to testify to this matter? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Mr. Adams, 1159, it's a non-emergency, but it's one of yours, so would you like to address that?
Thank you.
1159, adopt an update of transportation system development charge rate study, establish an updated fee schedule effective January 1, 2008.
We, the previous time that this topic was before the City Council, is really we treated it as a hearing without action. So today is the first hearing of an ordinance to reform the city's transportation system development charges. At the September 5th public hearing, we heard recommendations from the Citizen Advisory Committee as well as public testimony, and the Advisory Committee's recommendations focused on geographic equity across the city and keeping rates comparable to today's. Five questions were raised at Council, and we have prepared a response and recommendation to each. These issues are strategic application of the transit-oriented development discount outside the central city, which I support, timeline for phase-out of the central city TOD discount. The proposal is to end the discount in 2010, so it is a phase-out. A look at project cost by mode. This is a multimodal project list with improvements to support freight mobility as well as travel by transit, bike, walking, and automobile is contained in your information. Addition of a bikeway from I-205 to Eastern City Limits. The project list includes the completion of the Foster Road Corridor, and we've identified a possible future SDC project called the Market Mill Main Bike Boulevard. This project is being developed through the Safe and Sound Transportation Funding Proposal, and identification of non-freight projects in North Portland. All the five projects that are on the list have been clarified. They are multimodal, and while one is clearly of most benefit for freight facilities, another is solely for bike and pedestrian improvements. Staff is here to answer each point or questions, or why don't you give us a quick overview? I guess I just want to reiterate that, and this follows up on your one of your suggestions, Commissioner Saltzman, is that we do intend to keep some transit-oriented development discounts tightly around places such as Gateway, which we are not seeing the kind of redevelopment around transit that we liked, and also in a very tight-knit way around light rail stops and potentially selected streetcar stops in the future. But why don't you start out by speaking to that, since that's the most substantive change?
On the possibility of a more strategic application of the TOD discount? Excuse me, I'm Catherine Levine from Portland Transportation. That was raised at Council on September 5th. We looked at how that could be constructed. And in order to encourage transit-oriented development, we have proposed a TOD discount that would be focused on light rail stations as well as high-frequency transit routes, that is both bus and light rail. So the September 20th memo to Council on these 5 points includes proposed amendments to the code that would be needed to implement that change.
So, phase out Central City.
That's correct.
Keep the transit-oriented development for light rail stations and high-frequency
transit routes.
Okay. And you mentioned Gateway area. Does that fit under one of those?
Absolutely. That'll be the terminus of three light rail lines.
Okay.
The money foregone, we have a roughly 10-year, $110 million.
The
SDC budget.
Previous amount of foregone revenue for the TOD was over $13 million. 3.5 was outside the central city, just to give you a sense of order of magnitude. It was substantially less, but it allowed for incentive of transit-oriented development along the light rail corridors and station areas.
So the impact of pursuing this proposal would be around $3.5 million.
Based
to the overall list?
Based on the history, that's correct. The perspective of the advisory committee chair is just a reminder that any discount obviously lessens the amount of project dollars available for funding. And from the perspective of the advisory committee, they would want us to continue to look at where the discount is being realized and how much, and consider that in budgeting expenditures across the city.
Greg Jones with Office of Transportation. In that line, you also need to recognize that there's a significant benefit achieved by projects in transit-oriented development areas. And while these projects generally tend to be fairly expensive, the benefit received from those projects is also substantive. So trying to balance out dollars credited with dollars spent is probably not a useful way of looking at it in these areas.
And I would argue as well, with all due respect to Rick in disagreement, that given the history of expenditures over the past 10 years, that applying that kind of principle now wouldn't necessarily be historically fair. So I'm comfortable with, obviously, what we've proposed. So this is a first reading, and
First reading, and we would recommend that you adopt the rate study and project list with the ordinance to establish the fee schedule and make the necessary code amendments shown on pages 3 and 4 of the September 20th memo to implement the non-central city transit-oriented development discount focused on high-frequency transit routes and light rail stations for 5 years. Those code amendments require an annual review of the amount of discount provided. And as we've discussed, there are some policy implications to that.
So we don't vote. You're not suggesting we vote today, right? Right.
But you need some amendments to be moved?
We do need the amendments made.
I would move the amendments.
Second.
Call the vote. Since this is the only vote, thank you both very much. I've never seen a citizen committee that was more diverse and more laudatory of two staff people. So thank you very much. Aye.
Thank you.
Leonard?
And I've heard the same thing, but I want to point out the project that's been added with respect to the bike lane east of 205 to the eastern city limits. It's very cool and very appreciated and will be heavily used by the residents out there when it's done. So I appreciate that very much. Aye.
Thank you. Saltzman?
Well, I appreciate the receptiveness to my suggestion that we eliminate central city transit-oriented development, because by definition the central city to me is transit-oriented, but I still felt there was a case in other parts of the city outside of the downtown core that a transit-oriented development tax credit would be useful in inducing the right type of development, particularly at light rail stations and high-frequency transit corridors. So I appreciate you looking at that and coming back with a positive recommendation. So I'm pleased to vote aye.
Potter.
Thank you.
That will be on the regular agenda next week, October 3rd.
Okay, thank you. One. What about the 1155, the vacate Kelton Street?
Oh, sure.
1155?
Yes.
Vacate Southeast Kelton Street, west of Southeast 28th Avenue, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Mr. Adams.
I'll turn it over to staff.
Good afternoon. My name is Steve Maddox, and myself and next to me, Joe Bobato, work for the Portland Office of Transportation right-of-way group. And to my far right is Dennis Keenan, who's representing the petitioner, Catholic Charities. This request to vacate Southeast Kelton Street west of Southeast 28th Avenue has the support of staff. It's been approved by the Planning Commission, and staff is here to answer any questions that you might have. So I will turn this over to Mr. Keenan.
Mayor Potter and Commissioners Leonard, Adams, and Saltzman, my name is Dennis Keenan. I'm Executive Director of Catholic Charities here in Oregon. Our principal offices are located at 231 Southeast 12th Avenue in Portland. I'm a resident of Portland's Woodstock neighborhood. I'm here today to seek your approval of our request to vacate Kelton Street. Our intent is to develop our adjoining property to its highest and best use, principally for affordable housing, safe, decent, and affordable housing for lower-income residents of our city. We have already completed 50 units east of this property called Kateri Park. This would add an opportunity for us to develop 82 more units. Of the 132 units we'd have owned in this area, 36 of those units would be dedicated to the city's initiative for permanent supportive housing to help and homelessness in our city. This site is actually an infill site. It's a brownfield. We are remediating any contamination that exists in that area. In addition, we have 13 units of home ownership, single-family residences that we're working with in partnership with Host Community Development to have a further dimension to this revitalization effort for this entire neighborhood. We very much appreciate your careful and favorable, hopefully, consideration of our request.
Questions from the commissioners? It's a non-emergency and moves to a second reading. What's the date, time?
That will be October 3rd on the regular agenda.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Sounds like a great project.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I think that's all I hear, Commissioner. Thank you. Please read item 1152.
Adopt findings, authorize an exemption to the competitive bidding process to the Bureau of Purchases pursuant to ORS 279 and City Code 5.34 and provide payment for construction of the Council Crest Park Tower Replacement Design Build Project.
Folks could very briefly give a description of your request.
Christine Moody, Bureau of Purchases, and before you is an ordinance for approval of an alternative contracting method for the Council Crest Park Tower Replacement Design Build Project for the Bureau of Technology Services. And Matt is here to explain anything about the project that you might have questions about.
Okay. You know, we're here because to issue an RFP for the to get the proposals, we need to get approval of the alternate method, which is design-build. We believe that's the appropriate way to do this type of tower. There are relatively few people who do these tower designs and builds. We think it's the most efficient process for how to move forward with this project. As you know, we've talked about Council Crest Tower a couple times. In terms of budgeting, we originally came in with a budget proposal for it that was part of our CIP that was amended with additional funds added in the last budget cycle as the structural standards for the tower had changed to bring it up to the sort of latest structural standards for essential facilities. And this is basically the next step in the process so that we can get bids and designs to evaluate for targeting construction to begin early spring next year, as soon as basically the ground's ready to be able to do that foundation work. We would like to have the tower replacement try to complete all the work in one construction season so we don't have any disruption to the park for more than 1 year. We've been working with Parks and Friends of the Trails to the Markham Trail area to try to make sure we have a way to keep the park, the trails open and fully functional while we're doing the tower replacement. To some degree, that will depend on what we get back from the contractors and their bids in terms of where the crane safety zones have to be, et cetera. So getting to the bid process and getting information back from potential contractors is a critical step for us to be able to work out final mitigation plans with Parks, et cetera, for how we actually would do the construction. This is the next step for us as we move forward to try to replace this critical asset for the 800 megahertz radio system.
You have a project estimate, even though it's a moderate estimate, confidence level,
yes.
I should say. It was $1.8 million, but you have $2 million that's been set aside in this year and last year's budget to
I think it's $1.8, but we have some other tower maintenance funds that we could roll into it if we needed to.
So will this tower be built in the same footprint of the existing tower or next to it? Or
what will happen is, yes, if you were to picture the site, we have a rectangular building, small building there, and the tower is next to one corner of the building. The new tower will be right next to the other corner of the building. And then when this tower is completed and the equipment is placed on and it's put in service, then they will take down the old tower. So it does change the footprint very slightly. Essentially, the overall footprint when you're done is almost identical. A building and a tower located immediately adjacent to a corner of the equipment building that's there.
Questions?